short little chapter. Okay. Chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute the wrath upon him that does evil. Therefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that now is, and is it is high time to awake out of the sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envy. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Father, this morning as we've opened our hearts and shared with you, it seems to line up with the patterns of this message this morning, of this teaching. And Father, I ask that our hearts be lined up with you today, that we may receive the enlightenment that we truly need to understand and to live our lives and be a witness of you in this earth. Father, lead and guide and direct us by your Spirit this day. Amen. Back to that first verse. Let every suke obey the higher powers or the superior powers. What do you think that means? Question. What does it mean? Let every soul be subject or obey the higher powers. He's not talking in hierarchy in church. He's talking about the government. These people are in order for a reason. And he goes on and explains it more as we go on through this. Every person that's in the positions in, I had a lady call me last night as we was painting in the room from up in Ashland. And she was down here because some family member was in the hospital, and she wanted me to call, wanted everybody to pray for this man. And she says, oh, well, I got you on the phone. I got something else I need to ask you. What do you think about the war in Iraq? I said, well, I'm not thinking about it. I'm painting right now. You know, that's not an issue in my life. She said, well, what about President Bush? What's he going to do? And I said, he's going to do exactly what he's supposed to do. Because he's not the one that got elected. He didn't get the majority of the votes. Al Gore did actually get the majority of the votes. But guess what? God wanted this one in for a reason. Now, what the reason is, I don't know. It's none of my business. All I know is I'm a servant, and I'm supposed to do what I'm told. And that's all I'm going to do. I said, I'm not wrapped up in George Bush. He's going to do exactly what God wants him to do, just like everybody else is going to do. She said, well, God wouldn't want these people to do evil. I said, oh, really? He created the waster to destroy. He hardened the heart of Pharaoh so that he wouldn't do the righteous thing. Now, who's in control of that? You say God's in control of all things, but yet not the evil. God's only in control of the righteous. Give me a break. Give me a break. You think that the book doesn't say this? The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord? Was King David a righteous man? Well, what happened with all the things he was into then? Huh? He walked through adultery, fornication, lying, stealing, murder, everything else. Come on. Is God in control or not? He's in control of all. So we've got to get this mentality out of here that God's not in control of what's going on out there. The greatest thing that Jesus exhibited in his walk in this world was one word that everybody in this world wants. Peace. He had no problem. He didn't have any conniption fits. He didn't throw any hissy fits on anybody. He just did what he was supposed to do and let the people do what they had to do. It's Father's will be done. Just get back and let it go. That's not telling somebody to walk on you and let somebody beat you up. That's not what we're talking about. But see, not being concerned with what everybody else is doing, being concerned and finding out what God wants me to do should be the issue in every person's life. If I was so concerned about my life and getting my life right, listening only to what God has for me, you know what? It'd be a nice place to live if everyone else would do the same thing. Mind their own business, maybe, huh? Another way of putting it. If you consume yourself with doing what God wants, you won't have any problems in life. Everybody else will have problems with you because you're not doing what they're doing. True? Excuse me. He says, let every soul be subject or obey the higher powers, the superior powers, because there is no power except from God. There's no power except from God. The powers that be, they are ordained or assigned by God. That word ordained there also means assigned or selected or chosen. Okay? So who chose these people to be in power? Okay. George W. Bush didn't choose it on his own. God wanted him there, and no matter how they can do it, they can change the voting system 10,000 different ways, and if God wants the person in there, God's going to get him. How he does it's none of my concern. But I know God's going to get what he wants. And all I'm going to say is, amen. Whether I like it or not has no bearing upon the issue. It's what Father wants. That's the only mindset that'll ever work in the kingdom of God. As long as I have a contrary thought to God, do you think I can stand in the kingdom? How can two walk together except they be agreed? I got to line up my thinking process with God. What do you think this teaching I've been doing for three and a half years now is all about? The mind of Christ. If I don't get to think like him, how can I ever be in the position he's in? I can't be in that position as of the Christ if I'm not thinking as the Christ, can I? I can't think with Dave's mind in a carnal way and say, I'm a child of God, I'm a son of God. How can I do that? See, it's not my will, it's his will. It's all about him, not me. I'm just a vessel that he can use any way he wants to use. And when I resign myself to that place, guess what? Life will be easy for me internally. Externally, it'll be hell. You hear me? When you're thinking process, Jesus' life inside was very peaceful, and it portrayed to the external. But he went through pure hell to walk it out. Do you think it's going to be any different for you? It won't be any different for me, I know that. It's going to be just like him. If they'll do it to the green tree, what are they going to do to the dry tree? See? It's just the picture. Get the picture in your head, and if anything else don't match up to it, kick it aside. That's simple. It's that simple. Verse 2. All the ones, therefore, not resisting, but opposing the power. Now, what power is that? God's power. Everybody that resists the power that God placed externally, it can be internally, opposes the ordinance, or literally the arrangement of God. The word ordinance there should be arrangement. So, all the ones, therefore, opposing the power opposes the arrangement of God. Who set it up? See? God set the whole thing up. I didn't set it up. You didn't set it up. Some people in their minds think they come up with all these ideas to do all this stuff in this world. But who do you think unlocks the knowledge and truth? God does. He has it all in Him. He is the knowledge of God and truth. God of knowledge and truth. That's what I'm trying to say. And the rest of this verse says, and the ones that oppose shall receive to themselves what? Judgment. Now, it didn't say that they would they'd receive to themselves judgment. Literally, it's because of their actions. God is not sitting up there and saying, okay, when you screw up, I'm going to slap you upside the head. Now, God's not doing nothing like that. What's Galatians say? Galatians 6. God is not mocked. Man will what? If I'm reaping what I sowed, how can I blame that on God? How can I blame it on a devil? The only devil I got to worry about is the one between my ears. See? That's the only one I got to worry about. And if I take care of that one, I don't have any problems. That's the only one I got to worry about. Okay? Verse 3. Because rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Did you hear that? The only reason a ruler gives you a hard time is because there's something wrong with what you're doing. If a ruler is not terror to good works, but to evil, then what's it saying? Talk to me. What's he saying? A ruler is not a terror to good works, but to evil. There's something wrong with what I'm doing. If I'm obeying the law, do I have a problem? You'd watch people going down the road. I love this. You'd be driving down the road and everybody's driving fast, and they see a cop, what's everybody do? Hit their brakes, you see them noses of the cars dropping, you know? But here's the amazing thing. They can be driving 55 miles an hour in a 55 zone, and there's a cop and the nose will drop. You know why? Because it's their thinking process. They're afraid of that ruler because they know in their heart they're doing things wrong. They just lucky this time they didn't get caught. There's a fear in there. And because they know they're doing most of their life doing the wrong things. See, it's a thinking process. I'm not afraid. If I see a cop and I'm driving 60 in a 55, if I did it, guess what? I'm going to reap what I did. But I'm not going to be afraid of that man because all he's going to do is give me a ticket and I have to pay for it, and I'm going to be reminded about it every month when I pay my insurance. But but I did it. I can't blame anybody, but I'm not going to live in fear. You should be able to walk your life through. Don't worry about what goes on. You got to do what you got to do, and don't worry what anyone else thinks about it. This is between you and God, isn't it? If God is directing your life from inside, then don't worry what any external force comes at you. Why? Because God wants what He wants, and He's going to get it. If you live in fear, you're the one paying the price for it, not anybody else. Okay, go on with verse 3. It says, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Let me rephrase this so you can understand it better. And do you then desire to not be afraid of the power? Do you want to not be afraid of the power? He said, don't you desire to not be afraid of the power? You know what that means? You're doing things right. If I'm doing things right, what have I got to fear? I'm driving down the road and see a cop. Hey, I wave at him. I don't care. I'm not afraid of him. Why? I've not done anything. If I know that my thinking process is right, why should I be afraid of my father? Why should I be afraid of some fearful expectation of judgment? There's no condemnation in God when your mind comes free. He paid the price for my sin. The only sin there is the sin of unbelief. If I believe what He said, then I'm free. Otherwise, I'm a non-believer. No, He's not a bully. He's already set us free. Do you believe it or not? If you believe it, there'll be no more condemnation in your life. I'm saying believe it inside, not an external say of the words, but inside, you believe that I am free. Guess what you are? You are free. And nobody, don't let anything or anybody put you back in that prison. See, I'm a free man. And a free man who can't be put in prison internally is a dangerous man to religion. Or a woman. Doesn't make any difference. See, you're a dangerous person to religion. Because you know what happens when somebody gets free? It's like a disease spreading. Once it starts, you can't stop it. Somebody else is going to get free. And they're going to tell somebody else. And there's one of you to start with, and then there's 12, and then there's 70, and then there's 144,000, and then there's many myriads, myriads upon myriads in the book of Revelation. It just keeps spreading, and it keeps growing. Guess what? You're not going to stop this thing. People can talk about you, say anything they want about you, make all kinds of accusations. It will not stop the truth of God. Never has, never will. True or false? Don't worry about what they say about you. It's usually just putting the seal of God's approval in your life when people accuse you of all this stuff. Okay? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise from the rulers of the people. See, the rulers and the powers. If you don't do anything wrong, why is anybody going to bother you? I sit and talk to cops all the time over in town. I saw talk some Friday, three or four of them, detectives and stuff. Well, I ain't been robbing nobody, stealing nothing, selling drugs, killing people. Well, what have I got to be afraid of them people? They are just people doing another job that I'm not doing, right? Why should I be afraid of them? I'm not afraid of a cop just because he's got a gun and a badge. See, it's that mentality, that thinking process we put ourselves in. Ooh, he's a cop. He's just a person like you. It's the same mentality that our army went into to Iraq with. Everybody's going to bow down because we're America. We got the big guns. Are they bowing down? See? We're just people like they are. We found something out. Our people die just like their people die when bullets go through you. Bombs go off on you. We're just like everybody else. We're no better than anybody else. We can bleed and die just like everyone else can. And if our people understood that, maybe we wouldn't be in such a situation we're in. But that's not my choice. God's in control of it all, so I back out of that too. He said, you'll have praise from the rulers and powers because he is a minister or a servant of God to you to good. See, rulers are there to help you if you do what's right. True or false? If you don't do what's right, they can lock you up, fine you, put you in jail, do all kinds of things, punishments. But if you do what's right, you don't have to worry about it. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. He's saying, you've got a reason to have fear when you're doing the wrong thing. Because the Spirit of God which dwells within you will convict you at the very moment that you do something. Is that right? You start to think about something. Should I do this or not? You've already figured out right there you shouldn't. Haven't you? Right there, the Spirit of God convicts you whether you should or shouldn't. Now, are you taking that thought captive to the obedience of Christ, or are you casting it aside? If you're not paying attention to what the Spirit's saying, or you hear what the Spirit's saying and say, but it doesn't make a difference, I got to do this or I got to do that, that's a pretty serious thing. Because you're trampling the Word of God underfoot. See, my thoughts are more important, my needs are more important than what God has said in my life. It's called justification. And you know what will happen? You'll have to reap it. You'll have to reap what you did. And he said, for a good reason will you have fear, because it will come back on you. Because that's the way God has set this thing up. Because he bears not the sword, or the word in vain, or without reason. Because he is a servant of God, not a revenger, but an avenger to execute wrath or passion upon him that does evil. So if you do something evil, you know, God sets these people out here to do things, to bring justice back in line, to keep things kind of in order. David cried out in Psalms 17, verse 13. He said, Lord, deliver me from the wicked, which is your what? Your sword. Didn't he just say the avenger carries the sword not in vain or without reason? See? The avenger is carrying that sword, which is the wickedness. God's sword is the wickedness in people that he can use to judge against you. Our sword is the Word of God. God's sword is the wickedness in people. Psalm 17, verse 13, last half of the verse. Okay? Therefore, it is necessary, it says, must needs be subject. The word be subject, here's the thought that comes out of the word be subject in the Greek language. It says to have a voluntary attitude of giving in or assuming responsibility and carrying the burden. All that comes out of that one little word. Okay? It should say this, therefore it is necessary to have a voluntary attitude of giving in. Now, it didn't say a voluntary attitude of giving, it said giving in. That means I'm not going to stand up and demand my rights. See, I must decrease and he must increase. It's not about my rights, it's about what he wants. So we have to have this voluntary attitude of giving in. Also part of it is assuming responsibility and carrying the burden, whatever he's placed upon us. Okay? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So it is necessary to have a voluntary attitude of giving in, assuming responsibility and carrying the burden, not only because of wrath, okay, but also for conscience sake. It means I shouldn't be worried about, it's not necessary just to have this to keep from getting wrath upon me, but it's necessary for a clear conscience. See, if my change has came from inside and not an external dressing on everything, then guess what? It's not going to be a burden for me to do this thing, it's just going to be an automatic response. If my thinking process has changed from me to God's thinking, then whenever it comes, it won't be a burden. It won't be a sacrifice. It'll just be the way I have to act. See? I don't have a choice. I mean, if it's the way I think, that's what I'm going to do. See, it's no longer a burden anymore. I don't see it as a burden. I see it as an honor to serve God. See? I'm not talking about going to the mission fields and going doing these things all over. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about living my life every day, doing whatever he asks of me to do, living under whatever conditions he puts me in or leads me to do, and never complain, just saying, this is it. This is what God wants me to do. See, we have in our mind these visions of grandeur of going out and saving the world. Forget them. That's never going to happen the way everybody thinks about it. That's a carnal picture of that. The way the world's going to be saved is one person at a time from the inside out. It'll never happen any other way. I don't care what anyone in the world says. I can make this statement, no, my world never changed till God stirred up the inside of me. And you'll never change until he stirs up the inside of you and changes it. Nobody's going to be changed by singing a song, dancing, clapping their hands, or begging them to come up to an altar and snot and slobber on it. That will not change anybody. Going out and knocking on doors won't change anybody. Giving money to them won't change anybody. The only thing changes is your thinking process. And when that is changed, you will be a different creation. Because you are what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I think I'm better than somebody else, guess what? In my mind, I believe that, then I'm going to have an attitude like that in my life. Until I come to the place of humility, realizing that those people all over the world are just like us. They just got different situations. And if you can sit and condemn them or judge them for what they're doing, you're no better than they are. You're no better than they are. I don't care what they do. Not my place to judge. Verse 6. 4:4. Two words, totally different. Guardia. Because through this, and the word cause shouldn't even be there, because through this, or because of this, pay ye tribute or taxes also. He wasn't talking about paying tithes to the church. He said, you pay your taxes. You got to pay them, pay them. You know what? I can say this with all sincerity. I wished I could pay $1 million a year in taxes. You know why? That means I had a lot of money. It's a lot of revenue, see? If I can pay that much taxes, I'd love to pay $1 million in taxes a year. Look what it's doing for somebody else. See, I'm not complaining about paying the taxes. We own a home here, we pay a lot of taxes. And it goes into a school system that we don't even have any kids in school. But I don't care. I don't complain about our taxes. I just thank God he's provided enough I can pay my taxes. See? Our kids were in school here. See? I'm not complaining about paying taxes. I don't even complain about paying taxes on gasoline or automobiles or anything else we buy. I'm not complaining about taxes. Why should we? Can you go to the store and argue with them and change the price? Go to the gas station and see if you can get them to sell that gas to you for 50 cents less a gallon. I mean, it's hilarious, isn't it? Well, sure it is. Just pay what you got to pay and go on. Be thankful God has given it to you. And if he's been good enough to give it to you now, what makes you think he won't provide it till the day you die? Why? What would make you think that if he's provided all your life? Might need an attitude adjustment. The quickest way to attitude adjustment on anybody is through their hip pocket, through their money. Don't worry about money. Why? I'm not telling you to be foolish and go out and just spend all the money you can spend. I'm not saying that. Enjoy your life. Listen what the wisest man in the world ever walked in this world said about money and about things. He says, all vanity. He said, I've experienced it all. And you know what's all vanity? And he said, this is the greatest thing you can do. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. The greatest thing a man can do is live by or from the fruits of his labor. That means what you have earned in your life, you should enjoy it. And he's also said, leave a little bit for your grandchildren. Lay up for your children's children. See? If I got all that, what do I have to worry about? God has provided for me every day of my life and will every day of my life. He will for you too. But you got to believe he's going to do it. Okay? The rest of verse 6. Because they are God's what? Servants. They're God's servants. They're God's servants, whether they're crooked politicians, lawyers, judges, it makes no difference. Didn't Pharaoh work for God? Done what he was told. He was more obedient than most of the church folk, most of the, quote, Christians of the world. You know, that's amazing. The people that's on the negative side are more obedient than the ones on the positive side. It's always been amazing to me. Okay? But they're God's servants attending continually to this very thing, to your needs. Whether your needs be something good or some judgment that needs to come your way. That's what they're there for. So if they're consumed with all these things running a government, guess what? It's what they're supposed to be doing. Isn't it? It's the thing God put in their heart to do. See, everybody wants everybody to be the same. Every country on the face of this earth is trying to make every other country be like them, just like every person is trying to get everybody to follow me and be like me. Wrong concept. God did not make a mistake when he created all these billions of people on this earth, did he? Everyone is different. Everyone has a different fingerprint. Everyone has a different DNA. Why? Because he don't want us all to be the same, does he? Huh? Well, no, not in form, he doesn't want us to be the same. But in thinking process, absolutely yes. See, he doesn't want us all to be walking the same way, dressing the same way, like religion wants you to do. Wear your hair this way, wear a certain kind of clothes. That's foolishness. What he wants you to do is put on the mind of Christ. Think like our Father thinks. The mind of the Father was the mind that Christ had. So if I think with the mind of Christ, I'm thinking with the mind of God. And I can't do anything wrong there. And that's why he said those that are born of God cannot sin. See? You can't sin when your thinking process is from the heavenlies. You can't do it. You can't disbelieve anything that Father says if your mind's from the heavenlies. Okay? Where am I at? 6, 7. Okay. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute, and that's taxes. Okay? To whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, and custom is an indirect tax. It's not the same as a direct tax as it is in the word tribute. Reverence to whom reverence is due, honor to whom honor is due. Owe no man anything but to love one another, because he that loves one another has fulfilled the law. Now, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, I believe? He said, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Now, he said the only way to fulfill it is do what? He just said right here, how do you fulfill the law? You love one another. Is that the ones that love you back? Is that all the pretty ones that smell good? Huh? He said, love one another, and I don't care what they look like, smell like, talk like. I sat with some heathen people. I listened to stuff you wouldn't believe. But see, I'm not saying it, and it's not affecting me because I know who I am. But I can love these people, and in the process, I can sit amongst these people that are pure heathen and tell them that God loves them. Tell them that God is not a God to destroy them. God is trying to reconcile them back to Him. If they forget all this religious garbage they hear and hear the truth, God is a God of love. What's the bad thing in that? And all these things we say so terrible that are words, guess what? Who made them terrible? Did God ever put a list of curse words in this book? Well, then who made them up? If it come out of the mind of man, then that's where it came from. It's all garbage. It doesn't mean a thing. See? It's that simple. Man made it up. Cast it aside. It don't fit the pattern. There's no book in here that says don't use no four-letter words. But I understand our culture says that. That's still man's idea, not God's. It's a way of expressing yourself, probably not the best way to express yourself, but it's not. This book doesn't say anything about it. It's the attitude behind it. Verse 9. For this, okay? For this, or because of this, you shall not commit adultery. See, if I fulfill this law and love one another, because of this I will what? I shall not. Here's the change, oh God. Here's the change. The law has now become a promise. If you do this, you will no longer commit adultery. You will no longer kill, steal, do anything wrong if you love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, what a beautiful picture. If I can give up all this separation, divisions, hatred, bitterness, revenge, retaliation, whoo, I'm going to love somebody. See, if I love somebody, and I'm not talking to love in the physical sense, I'm talking about loving by the Spirit of God every human being on the face of the earth. If I do that, guess what? If I love you, I can't hurt you. You know why God's all messed up in the religious world today? And God's not messed up, it's their rendering of who God is. Because people say they love each other and you see them killing each other on the 6 o'clock news. See, there's why they think that's the way God is. See, God's not a God of physical love. He's a God of a spiritual love which has no strings attached, no conditions. I don't care what you do, He still loves you. Now, I didn't say He wouldn't correct you somewhere down the line, because in Hebrews He said He chastises or corrects those He loves. He loves all, so guess who's going to get corrected sooner or later? All's going to get corrected sooner or later. And no chastening or correction seems joyous for the season, does it, for a moment. But it will bring about the peaceable joy of righteousness. Okay? For because of this, because you've loved one another and fulfilled the law, for this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended or summed up in this saying, you shall love thy neighbor as thyself. There's the commandment. You remember when Jesus walking, a man walked up to him and said, one of the Pharisees or somebody said, what's the greatest of the commandments? And he said, to love your Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor yourself. And these two are one. Same thing. Love. See, love's going to change the world. War, bombs, bullets, chemicals will never change the world. I'm talking about the world of man. It'll change this outward appearance. They'll make craters and blow things up, but it's not going to change the heart of man. You can kill Saddam Hussein, but you will never change his thought process or the thought process of all those people over there by dropping bombs on them. The only way there is still domination, control, and manipulation in that war, isn't it? And the only way you change them is love them as they are. What the greatest thing I've seen in this is I saw the soldiers over on the war going over helping them carry the dead bodies and digging graves and helping those Iraqis bury their dead, the civilians. And some of the civilians were saying, "We forgive you for these accidental deaths. We know you didn't mean to do it." See, now there is some love going on. And you don't see a whole lot of that on the news. All they want to do is show the death and carnage. Why don't they show the truth? That a lot of these people really don't want to be in there. And a lot of people that's fighting are there because someone's got a gun to their mother or father's head saying, "You go fight or we'll just wipe out your family." A lot of them are fighting for that reason. But it's God that's going to bring about this love. But I've seen some beautiful things in this war. And I don't support war at all, but that's just the way it is. Verse 10. Love works no evil. Not evil, works no evil to his neighbor. If you truly love somebody, how could you do anything wrong or detrimental to them? Do you see that? He's saying love works no... He's not talking about physical humanitarian love. He's talking about spiritual love of God. If I love you as myself, how could I hurt you, Ed? You can't possibly. I don't care what you do to me. That has no bearing. Love is not a two-way street. In God, it's a one-way street from God to you, unconditional, whether you love him or not. While you were yet in your sins and trespasses, he died for you. Hello? So I'm not looking for love to be reciprocated to me if I treat you good. See, I'm not looking for that, for you to come back to me. If it does, fine. If it doesn't, fine. What's the difference? I'm doing what my nature teaches me to do. The Spirit of God in me teaches me to love all humanity, regardless of what you do to me. Did Jesus say, "Father, get them. They're killing me on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're doing it in ignorance." See, we got to have this same mind. Let this same mind be in you as also which is in Christ Jesus. See, he had a mind when he was on that cross of no retaliation, no revenge, no retribution of any kind. I'll get him when I resurrect. See, that wasn't in his mind. He saw that what he was doing, he knew the end result was that we would all be taken care of. See, that was the beauty that was set before him. He was looking from the backside of the cross and saw, hey, it's worth it all. And you got to have this same mind within you. Okay? Love works no evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling or the completion. The word should say completion. Love is the completion of the law. It completes it. It fulfills it. When I can love all people, regardless of what they say or do, what they think about you, you've fulfilled the law. Now, tell me what you are then. Several things you could use. You're truly who you're supposed to be. You're part of the Christ. But you are free. You are totally free from the fear and control and manipulation of religion and man when you can love everybody. Well, what if they're beating me up? So what? I don't like the pain, but they don't know what they're doing. Is it easy? No. If it was easy, wouldn't everyone be doing it? Okay. That thing between our ears is the battle that we have to fight continually. And every time you get up in the morning, you've got to jack slap that thing and throw it in the back seat, get it out of the driver's seat. Every morning. Because it'll come up every day. Sometime through the day, something will slip up. It's when you're least expecting it, it's going to pop up. Somebody's going to do something to you in your life to make you want to snap back at somebody. When I do, I just lost the battle. I just lost the battle. Didn't say the war. I lost a battle. And there's many battles inside of a war. True or false? See? Just one of the battles I lost. And as soon as I did, what should I do? I should back up, recant, and apologize. To myself first. Forgive myself first, and then if I've hurt someone else, I need to go to them and say, "Hey, I'm sorry, I blew it." I'm not telling you this is a rule or regulation. I'm telling you that's the nature of Christ. If I did something wrong and I realize I've done it wrong, I'm going to make it right. One way or the other, I'm going to make it right. That's not no rule I'm giving to you. I'm just telling you what I got to do in my life. And that, and after all this, okay, knowing the time that even now is, it is high time, or it is the hour to awake out of our sleep. When is the time to wake up? Well, you mean waiting on the rapture? Are you waiting for a second coming? Are you waiting for the Antichrist to come and rule the world? When is it? It's right now. Because now is our, not salvation, deliverance. Now is our deliverance, what? Nearer than when we first believed. Listen to the teaching of the church realm. They say, come to Jesus and receive salvation. True? Okay. Now, if I come to church under their standard and I say, okay, Jesus, forgive me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Now I am saved. I have salvation, right? Well, then why would Paul say this? Why did Paul say this? Let me get back to it. Because now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. If I got it when I went to church, then why do I need something further than that if I got it? Do you hear me? Why would I need something else? If I got it and it's a done deal, why do I need to get it again? Why would Jesus say, he that endures until the end, the same shall be saved? Same thing. Wrong word. It's delivered. See, I'm saved like the whole world is saved because he died on the cross and resurrected. But I haven't been changed from my thinking process yet. Do you hear me? There's the deliverance. I'm delivered from this evil thinking process between my ears. And everybody says, oh, I'm not like that. I wouldn't do those things. The people that say those kind of stupid statements are the very people that nailed him to the cross. They were holy and righteous, but they nailed our Savior to a cross, didn't they? Remember the song I played from the guy up in Michigan? I didn't want to be the blame. I didn't want to feel the pain, but he did. See, the man that wrote that song, Saul, had a great revelation. He realized his humanity was nailing Christ to the cross, nailed him to the cross. You need to see that. I did that. I drove the nails, but never again. He says, the night is far spent. Right? The ignorance, the time of ignorance is gone. There's a time when we walked in ignorance for a long time. That time's gone. The day or the time of enlightening is at hand. That means now, don't it? Let us therefore cast off the works of ignorance and let us put on the armor of light. John 1:9 says what? I am the light that lights every man that comes into the world. Coincidence? I don't think so. I don't think so. Let us walk honestly in the day. In what day? The day of the Lord, the day of Christ. Let us walk honestly in the day. Let us not walk what? In rioting and drunkenness and not in chambering, which is adultery, unfaithfulness, and wantonness, which is unbridled lust. That means doing whatever we want to do, not worrying about what Father wants us to do. Not in strife, not in envyings, or literally jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to lust. There's other words you can cross out because they're not there. Let me read it again. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. And the King James says, to fulfill the lust thereof, and that's not what it says. The language says, to lust. Make no provision for the flesh to lust. How do I do that? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if I put on the mind of Christ, I have no provision to lust. That sounds so simple, don't it? But if I put on the mind of Christ, How could I have lust in my mind for anything? I'm not just talking sexually. I'm talking about lust for all kinds of things. How can I lust for anything? How can there be any place for me to lust if I put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Someone tell me, is there a way? There is no way. If I put on the mind of Christ, there is no Dave thinking. Do you hear that? Of them. Remember what he said in Psalms? Blessed is he that takes the little Babylonian babies and busts their head against a stone, taking them by the feet. When I first heard that, I thought, my God, that's the most horrendous thing I ever heard in the natural, to take a little baby by the feet and swing it and hit its head on a rock and kill it. And then when I grew up in spirit and understood, God was talking about them old Babylonian thoughts in my head. Because if you think you ain't got Babylonian babies running around your head, or teenagers, or even adults, you're kidding yourself. We all got them. But if we don't deal with them when they're little babies, they're going to grow up to be big Babylonian soldiers. And then they're going to be tough to deal with. Be giants in the land. We got to deal with these things. It's our responsibility. God has opened this up to us. And if He showed it to us, guess what? It's our responsibility to deal with what He showed us. God doesn't show you something and then say, okay, about 15 years now, consider stopping that. See, I've heard that justification all my life. Had one pastor tell me I spoke something to him because he was doing something that was definitely incorrect and anti-scriptural. And I said, brother, you shouldn't be doing this. He said, who are you to judge me? I'm a pastor. I said, well, you know, this thing's been going on for quite some time. And he said, well, God's dealing with me. I said, no, God isn't dealing with you. God showed it to you 5 years ago. Why aren't you doing it now? Why haven't you dealt with it? Because you're justifying. And justifying is just a lying. When you say God's dealing with me, you're telling me that you don't want to deal with it. And God just sent me along to remind you, whether you liked it or not. Just like in the book of Samuel. Samuel was replacing Eli, the old prophet. Because the old prophet was not a good father and not a good priest. And you know what? The priest should be able to hear God, shouldn't he? But he didn't listen. He heard, but he didn't listen. So he sent another prophet to him. And he told him, your sons are going to die. You're going to die. And the glory is going to depart of Israel. Because he wouldn't listen. And the same thing happens in our lives. The son dies in us too. And then we'll die. And guess what? The glory of Israel will depart the land. See, if I don't do what I know is right to do. And then I'll do the lust of the flesh. Every man will do what's right in his own eyes. See? Because there won't be a king in the land. But you know what? There was a son there who slept in the Holy of Holies. And you know what? Samuel, what it said about him, that never a word that he spoke fell to the ground. That's an awesome, awesome statement. Never a word fell to the ground. That's just awesome. See, I want to be in that same place. Never a word that I speak now falls to the ground. Because I'm living in the Holy of Holies now. And you can be too. There's no excuse. It's there for you. I'm done.